So, welcome to the evening Bhagavad Gita class. Hopefully we get more people joining us in a little while. But we will start by chanting Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kundabihari Jai Radha Madhava Kundabi Hari Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Padatahuti Gopi Jana Bala Ma Giri Padatahuti Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Raja Janu Ranjana Yamuna Tira Bhattachari Yamuna Tira Bhattachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Bharadhati Gopi Jana Balaba Giri Bharadhati Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janu Ranjana Yamuna Tira Bhattachari Yamuna Tira Bhattachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Uva Kunjavi Hari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Olsa Teta Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Savaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Gosami Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Gajai Namacharya Shudhuidas Thakur Gajai Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shudhuida Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Gajai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shai Makunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gajai Vrindavanam Gajai Maturam Jagannathaswami, Kajai, Yamunamai, Kajai, Srimati Lalasya Devi, Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrinda, Kajai. Go, Primananda, Hari Hari Bo. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Go, Primananda, Hari Hari. So, Maom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Budale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pajani Nivichesa Shinyavadi Pashyat Deja Tarni So, Magana Timidanda Shya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So for those of you who don't know, Radhastami is coming up either on the 25th or 26th, depending on what country you're in. And here in Nugaloka, I guess we'll be celebrating, I'm not sure which date, supposed to be the 25th according to this new calendar calculation, newfangled calendar calculation. But it's actually the 26th in India, and I believe it's also the 26th in Australia, New Zealand, and Fiji. And Prabhupada did say that when it's Ekadasi or whatever holiday we're talking about in India or in Mayapur, that means it is Ekadasi or whatever holiday we're talking about everywhere around the world. So everybody's newfangled. So we're going to be having celebration, I guess, on both days. On 26th in the morning, we're going to be having an initiation. And some of the devotees who were taking initiation will be here in New Goloka. That's at 6:30 in the morning. Which is going to be 8:30 in the morning Australia time, 10:30 in the morning New Zealand time. And one of the devotees is going to be taking, at least one devotee is going to be taking initiation in Australia, in Brisbane, and not Brisbane, Gold Coast actually, at the same time. So anyway, so that's exciting. That's on the 26th, which is the actual day of Radhastami, regardless of what the newfangled computer program tells us. Anyway, so we will go ahead and talk about the Bhagavad Gita. This is the Bhagavad Gita study group where we're reading through the whole Bhagavad Gita, commenting on parts that may not be understandable to some of the devotees, and perhaps telling some stories. So let's go to the Bhagavad Gita again. Where is the Bhagavad Gita? I know I picked it out. Oh, show all windows. Here we go. Got a lot of windows open. So we're starting with text 51 in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, just to reiterate, is the chapter on the universal form. It's not something that I want to see. Actually, I want to see the 11th chapter, but I don't want to see the universal form ever, as I mentioned many times before. And we're coming upon the 12th chapter, which is devotional service, which is one of my most ecstatic chapters. Because it's a very compassionate chapter. Krishna shows his great compassion and elaborates on devotional service. It's such a wonderful chapter. So let's finish up with the universal form, hopefully today. So let's start. Text 51, Arjuna Vacha Dhristvedam Manusham Rupam Tava Somyam Janardana Idanim Asmi Samvritta Sachitta Prakritim Gataha. Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna said, Drishva, seeing Idam, this, Manusham, human, Rupam, form, Tava, your, Somyam, very beautiful, Janardana, O chastiser of the enemies, Idanim, now, Asmi, I am, Samvritta, settled, Sachetaha, in my consciousness, Prakritim, to my own nature, Gataha, returned. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardana, seeing this human-like form, so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind, and I am restored to my original nature. So he's relieved not to see the universal form anymore. So here the words, Manusham Rupam, clearly indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be originally two-handed. Those who deride Krishna as if he were an ordinary person are shown here to be ignorant of his divine nature. If Krishna is like an ordinary human being, then how is it possible for him to show the universal form and, again, to show the four-handed Narayan form? In other words, let's just state this clearly. If the ultimate was realization was the universal form, then how would the universal form show the Narayan form in Krishna? That the universal form is not actually the personal form of Krishna. So it is very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita that one who thinks that Krishna is an ordinary person and who misguides the reader by claiming that it is the impersonal Brahman within Krishna speaking is doing the greatest injustice. Prabhupada is here indirectly referring to Dr. Radhakrishna. In the beginning of the Krishna conscious movement, we did not have our own Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada had to take advantage of Dr. Radhakrishna's Bhagavad Gita, which had pretty good translations, but the purports stunk in many cases. translations were pretty accurate. For example, the famous verse in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana, Bhavaman, Bhakto, Mayabhyashaman, Namaskuruman, Vaishasim, Sachan, Tepati, Chidi, Priyosime, where Krishna says, become my devotee, just think of me, worship me, offer your obeisances unto me, thus you will come to me. So Dr. Radhakrishna, in his commentary, said, Krishna's not really speaking about himself. He's speaking about the unborn, beginningless within himself. And so Prabhupada termed that as rascaldom. And Prabhupada also said that this Dr. Radhakrishna would have to suffer immensely in his next life because of that offense against Krishna. He's taking Krishna's words and putting his own interpretation to them. As we mentioned many times before, certain Vedic statements can be interpreted if the direct meaning doesn't make sense. If the direct meaning makes sense, then there's no interpretation. The example I've given many times before is that one can say, this is an example, go to see so-and-so whose house is on the river. Now, the direct meaning doesn't make sense because the house is probably not on the river unless he has a houseboat. So, you take the indirect meaning that the house is on the shore of the river. This is a standard Vedic example given to when you should take, given insofar as advising you, is when you should take the indirect meaning. So how can we be an ordinary? A pure devotee is not confused by misguiding commentaries in Bhagavad Gita because he knows what is what. The original verses of Bhagavad Gita are as clear as the sun. They do not require lamplight from foolish commentators. Next verse. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Sudur Darsham Miram Rupam Drishtavana Sihan Mama Deva apyasya rupasya nicham darshana kangshanaha. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Personality of God, had said, Sudur darsham, very difficult to see, idam this, rupam form, dristavan asi, as you have seen, yat which, mama of mine, devaha, the demigods, api also, asha this, rupasya form, nicham eternally, darshana kangshanaha. The Supreme Personality of God has said, my dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form which is so dear. That's Adurlabham, 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 Atmabhakto, Govindam Adi Purusham, Tanaham, Vishami. So in other words, very difficult to see. But if one is Krishna's devotee, Krishna gladly reveals himself to his devotee. In the 48th verse of this chapter, Lord Krishna concluded revealing his universal form and informed Arjuna that this form is not possible to be seen by so many pious activities, sacrifices, etc. Now here the word sudur-darsham is used, indicating that Krishna's two-handed form is still more confidential. One may be able to see the universal form of Krishna by adding a little tinge of devotional service to various activities like penances, Vedic study, and philosophical speculation. It may be possible, but without a tinge of bhakti, one cannot see. That has already been explained. Still, beyond that universal form, the form of Krishna with two hands, is still more difficult to see, even for demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva. They desire to see him. And we have evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when he was supposed to be in the womb of his mother Devaki, all the demigods from heaven came to see the marvel of Krishna, and they offered nice prayers to the Lord, although he was not at that time visible to them. They waited to see him. A foolish person may deride him, thinking him an ordinary person, and may offer respect not to him, but to the impersonal something within him. That's Dr. Radhakrishna again, Prabhupada is referring to. But these are all nonsensical postures. Krishna, in his two-armed form, is actually desired to be seen by demigods like Brahma and Shiva. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 11, it is also confirmed. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanam ashita. And the translation, of course, is that Krishna is not visible. He is not visible to the foolish persons who deride him. Krishna's body, as confirmed in by Brahma Samhita and confirmed by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, is completely spiritual. Satchitananda Vigrad, full of bliss and eternality. His body is never like a material body. But for some who make a study of Krishna by reading Bhagavad Gita or similar Vedic scriptures, Krishna is a problem. For one, using a material process, Krishna is considered to be a great historical personality and very learned philosopher. A great and a very learned philosopher. But he is an ordinary man, even though he was so powerful, he had to accept, this is what they're saying, he's an ordinary, and he had to accept a material body. This is actually for those who use a material process. Ultimately, they think that the absolute truth is impersonal. Therefore, they think that from his impersonal feature, he assumed a personal feature attached to material nature. This is actually pretty stupid. Because impersonal feature would be no variety. So when you have something with no variety, how do you get variety from something with no variety unless you have someone else who has variety or understands variety make the something from no variety into something with variety? In other words, and that person would be God. How can an impersonal whatever assume a personal feature? It just doesn't even make sense. This is a materialistic calculation of the Supreme Lord. Another calculation is speculative. Those who are in search of knowledge also speculate on Krishna and consider him to be less important than the universal form of the Supreme. It's pretty stupid. Some think that the universal form of Krishna, which is manifest to Arjuna, is more important than his personal form. Oh my God. According to them, the personal form of the Supreme is something imaginary. They believe that in the ultimate issue, the absolute truth is not a person. But the transcendental process is described in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4 to hear about Krishna from authorities. That is the actual Vedic process. And those who are actually in the Vedic line hear about Krishna from authority. And by repeated hearing about him, Krishna becomes dear. So, of course, our understanding is that the absolute truth has both a personal and an impersonal aspect. And the personal aspect is actually supreme. And the impersonal aspect comes from the personal aspect. In fact, not only is there just the personal aspect and the impersonal aspect, there's also the Paramatma. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam abhyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. That verse states, the learned authorities say that the absolute truth has three aspects. Bhagavan, that is Krishna himself, then Paramatma, the localized expansion of Krishna in everyone's heart and in every atom, and Brahman, which is the actual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as we have several times discussed, Krishna is covered by his yogamaya potency. Remember that verse? Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya sumarvata. I am covered. Why does Krishna cover these people by his yogamaya potency? Because they're envious of him. And as Krishna says in the ninth chapter, shranana purusha dharma shasha parantapa aprapyamam nivartante richu samsara bhartmani. And someone who doesn't have faith in me, then they just have to return to birth and death in the material world and will never understand me. And then also in the ninth chapter, idam tu te guyatamam prapachyama nasuyave jnana vijnanam sahitam yadgatva mokshase shubhat. Krishna says to Arjuna, I'm revealing all this to you because you are not envious, anasuyave. Anyway. So, he is not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Only by one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. This is confirmed in Vedic literature. For one who is a surrendered soul, the absolute truth can actually be understood. The transcendentalist, by continuous Krishna consciousness and by devotional service to Krishna, can have his spiritual eyes opened and can see Krishna by revelation. Such a revelation is not possible even for the demigods. Therefore, it is difficult even for the demigods to understand Krishna. And the advanced demigods are always in hope of seeing Krishna in his two-handed form. And sometimes when they even see Krishna in his two-handed form, they forget that he's God. Why? Because they become overcome with their own prestige, which is false ego, which is subtle sex desire. For example, you have Lord Brahma, who tried to steal Krishna's coward boys and calves. And then also you have Indra, who tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan, thinking, who is this talkative young boy? He's talking everyone out of worshiping me, Indra. The conclusion is that although to see the universal form of Krishna is very, very difficult and not possible for anyone and everyone, still it is more difficult to understand his personal form as Shyamasundara. You have to have, be a pure devotee. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santakshadaiva viyeshu vilokyanti yam Shyamasundaram achinja guna swarupam govindamari purusham tamaham vajame. You have to love Krishna, not just like Krishna or be attracted to Krishna. You have to be madly in love with Krishna. And then Krishna shows himself. Text 53. Maham vedar na tapasa na dana na na chejiya sakya evam vido drashtum drashtava nasimam yata. Na never aham I ved I. By study of the Vedas, na never tapasa. By serious penances, na never. Danena, by charity, na never. Cha also. Ij yaya, by worships, sakya ha. It is possible, evam vidha, like this. Drashtum to see, drishtavan, seen, asi you are, ma me yata as. The form you are seen with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing severe penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. And remember we quoted that verse spoken by Jadbharata. And some of you remember a previous class where Jadbharata was talking to this king, Rahugana, and he said, now I'll quote the verse again, Rahuganaita tapasanayati chejya nirvakana granad hadva nachandasa naiva jalagni surya pranamahat pada rajopishekam. He said, you cannot understand the absolute truth, which is Krishna, by undergoing austerities, by being in a good grahasta, by being a good sannyasi, by putting yourself in fire in the middle of the summer, by putting yourself in ice cubes in the middle of the winter, or by talking on your mobile phone. not by any of these things, only by literally taking a bath, rajobhishekam, from the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotees. And I'll tell a story about this, just so you can understand this. So we mentioned the other day that three things are very powerful. That is, three substances are very powerful in relationship with pure devotees. One substance is the foot bathing dust. The other substance is the foot bathing water. The other substance is the prasadam remnants of a pure devotee. So there was one great devotee. His name was Kalidas, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, over 500 years ago. And he made it his service to eat the prasadam remnants. Prasadam actually means the mercy of the Lord, but generally refers to the food which is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which manifests the mercy of Krishna. So anyway, so he would eat the prasadam remnants of every Vaishnava in the Mayapur Navadvipa area. And how he would do that was very interesting. He would go to people's houses, offer them some food to offer to their deities, wait outside until they finished eating the food, after they took it off the altar, of course, and he would just eat whatever was left on the plate. For example, if he offered mangoes to someone, he would suck on the pits that they had already sucked on. And one might think, this is weird. You know, what's it called? Dumpster diving. You know, he would go into the garbage pits and actually eat their prasadam remnants. So one may think it's weird, but that's the mood one should have with Vaishnavas. And so as a result of that, he got Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He got to do something that nobody else had ever done with Lord Chaitanya's permission. He got to drink Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's foot bathing water when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was entering the Jagannath temple. And Lord Chaitanya didn't get angry with him for that. I mean, he stopped him after a while, but he didn't get angry with him. He allowed him to do that. In other words, the way you get Krishna's mercy is by serving great devotees and getting their prasadam remnants and foot bathing water. I mean, just one funny story. I have to tell this story. There were some disciples of a particular guru, not my disciples, thank God. But they actually arranged that the drain from this guru's shower would actually drain into, I guess, a pod or something like that. They drank it. I think that's a little fanatic. Not just a little, it's very fanatic. It's just like sometimes we have the Abhishekha of the deities, and then it drains into a pod, and then we all take a little bit of that Abhishekha water. So the time to take the foot bathing water of the guru is not when he's in the shower. That would not be appropriate. But sorry about it. I had to tell that story. It was just a little gross. The time to take it is when he's received a particular function and you bathe his feet. That's the methodology of receiving a Vaishnava. You bathe their feet. And then you can take a little bit of the foot bathing water. And if you happen to be walking with them, you just walk behind them like I did with Prabhupada and watch for the footprint and you grab something from the footprint. Hopefully it's edible. And you put it into your mouth. That's nice, isn't it? Nice. It's a very nice way to get Krishna's mercy. So anyway, and you take the prasadam remnants, which I did several times with Srila Prabhupada, and I just demolished everything on the plate, including the grape stems and orange rinds and everything like that. So I was very enthusiastic to get Prabhupada's remnants. And actually, we have one devotee here in Nugaloka who wanted to get a cookie from Prabhupada. Actually, after... this didn't happen in Nugaloka, it happened in Los Angeles. After Prabhupada would give class, there'd be a little kirtan, and Prabhupada would give cookies to the little kids and the mothers who had little kids. So this devotee didn't have a little kid, and she wanted a cookie from Prabhupada. So she grabbed some little kid, you know, the first kid in sight. Grabbed the kid. Okay, kid, you're coming with me. And she got a cookie from Prabhupada. Anyway, that's a very nice story. I mean, there's so many stories about how people became Krishna conscious. I was just hearing a story from one devotee today that this devotee wanted to go to this concert, you know, some stupid rock and roll group or whatever. It's in the 1960s or 70s. So he wanted to go to this concert and he had no ride to go there. And so he saw this van that he thought was going to the concert. All right. Going to the concert. He had a ticket. He really wanted to see this group. You know, this group was very important to him. So he went up to the van and said to the inhabitants of the van, who happened to be wearing dhotis, he said, "You're going to the concert?" And they said, "Yeah, sure, hop in. We'll take you." Okay, so he hopped in. And when they got to the concert, all these dhoti-wearing prabhus, they took their dhotis off and put on plain clothes. Plain clothes means Western clothes, you know, pants and things like that. Sometimes people talk about karmi clothes. Well, clothes are not karmi. It's kind of interesting. It's a karmi clothes. Because you can be wearing a dhoti and be a vikarmi. Remember we talked about karma, vikarma, akarma? But you could be wearing a dhoti and be eating fish. That's plenty of people do that in India. So then the dhoti becomes a vikarmi clothes. Becomes vikarmi clothes. And if you're doing a Vedic sacrifice to go back to the heavenly planets, the dhoti becomes a karmi clothes. And if you if you're serving Krishna and you're wearing pants, then the pants become devotional clothes. Think about that for a second. So this whole nomenclature, Karmi's Karmi clothes, Vikarmi clothes, devotional clothes, Vedic clothes. Vedic? Who knows what Veda means knowledge. So any clothes you wear in the pursuit of the ultimate knowledge of Krishna, that's, those clothes are Vedic clothes. Anyway, getting back to the story. So, all right, so the devotees changed into Western clothes, and they got out their incense and backed the godheads and everything. They said to this devotee, well, not devotee, wasn't a devotee then, he was just like a hippie. They said, can you help us distribute these books and pass out incense? So he said, sure. And he got so much into passing out the books and distributing incense, he forgot about the concert. In fact, he even sold his ticket to someone for the concert and gave the devotees all the money. All right. And then the devotee said, would you like to go back to with us to the temple? All right, so they all go, I think it was Detroit Temple or something like that. It was Detroit Temple. So they all go back to the temple. And immediately the temple president comes down. He hears there's some new potential devotee there. Comes down with this giant plate of prasadam. And prasadam like puris, white puris with white sugar on them, and halva, and sweet rice, and everything that this guy had not eaten for a long time. I mean, the guy had never eaten puris before. But this guy had not eaten sugar or white flour, anything. He was a macrobiotic. In other words, he's just really into brown rice, basically living on brown rice. And so he just ate it and demolished it. And then they took him downstairs to the Brahmacharya ashram in the basement. And they told him, we're going to be waking up kind of early. All right. He said, oh, kind of early, no problem. So he lay down to sleep and practically, almost immediately, heard the gong, gong, gong. Nobody knows for whom the bell tolls or tolls for thee. So anyway, he was woken up and it was time for Mangalarti. So he went to Mangalarti. So about 3 days later, he says, can you take me back to where I came from? And they say, sure. And on the way back, they stop somewhere else and do some Sankirtan. Sankirtan is book distribution and asking people for donations like that. So they stop, and he's having a good time, and they say, do you really want to go back? And he says, no, I'll go back to the temple. So he goes back to the temple, 3 days in the temple, and three or four more days in the temple. I said, you want to go back? He said, no. And then he remained. So, so one gets the association of devotees, even accidentally, or serves, like this devotee, was serving Prabhupada. Now, Prabhupada wasn't there in his Vapu form, or physical form at that point, but this devotee was serving Prabhupada by distributing Prabhupada's books and helping assist the devotees in the temple. So simply by doing that, without even being aware of what he was doing, he became so inspired that he remained as a devotee for the rest of his life. I mean, he's still alive. He remained as a devotee. It's amazing. It's amazing. So in other words, you can see that form of Krishna by studying the Vedas, undergoing severe penances, charity, worship, etc. like that. But if you get the association of a devotee and you serve a devotee, then you can see Krishna. Amazing. I'm not saying this devotee has realized 100% Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's certainly seen the deities, he's certainly chanted Krishna's holy names, initiated devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and he's basically seeing Krishna, just even accidentally. So therefore, the conclusion we can arrive at is that somehow or other, we want people to be Krishna conscious. You just give them Krishna and Prabhupada's association, and it will act after some time. Now, if someone gets the Gita, even they don't read the Gita, they put it on their bookshelf, in a very respectable place, they've done a little service. And then eventually it acts. It may be a slow acting, I don't want to say poison, but a slow acting medicine, vaccination. But eventually it will act. And their eyes will be opened. Just like there was one person, Aldous Huxley, in the 1960s, he wrote about opening the doors of perception. Of course, he was referring to not Krishna consciousness. He was referring to the taking of some psychedelic drugs, which do not open the doors of perception. They close the doors of spiritual perception and give you an illusion within an illusion. However, chanting of Hare Krishna and serving the Vaishnava and serving Prabhupada opens the doors of perception, and then one can really just falls in love with Krishna and sees Krishna and dedicates their whole life to Krishna. So that's all we have to do to bring people to Krishna consciousness, is to purely represent his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. You don't have to be super sophisticated in your presentation. Of course, you should know Bhagavad Gita, obviously. But you don't have to be super sophisticated. You just have to manifest Prabhupada's presence. And then people will see Krishna. It is so easy. Not penances, not charity, not mundane worship. Actually, bhakti doesn't mean simply worship. Bhajan doesn't mean worship. It means to serve with devotion. Anyway, then one can see Krishna as he is. So, purport. Krishna first appeared before his parents, Devaki and Vasudeva, in a four-handed form, and then he transformed himself into two-handed form. This mystery is very difficult to understand for those who are atheists or who are devoid of devotional service. For scholars who have simply studied Vedic literature by way of grammatical knowledge or mere academic qualifications, Krishna is not possible to understand. They will not see Krishna. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. What that verse means is, by the Vedas, it's not possible to understand Krishna. But adurlabham, durlabham means difficult. Okay, let me give a translation. So, Vedeshu durlabham, that means by the Vedas, difficult. Okay? And then, adurlabham, it is not difficult. Atma bhakta, one is Krishna's bhakta. So that's the point. Nor is he to be understood by persons who officially go to the temple to offer worship. What is officially? That means it's part of their tradition, their family tradition. Janmashtami, you've got to go to the temple, you know, get together with all the other guys and girls and, you know, have some social life. A lot of people go to the temple for social life. Sometimes, in the non-coronavirus times, you'll go to a temple and find the Sunday feast is there. Of course, it's called the Sunday feast, probably called the Sunday love feast. It's interesting, Prabhupada also called it, when the cannibals would eat their grandfathers, you know, the old people. That's a good way to get rid of old people, people. They would throw them off a roof somewhere just to soften up the meat, and Prabhupada said they would have a love feast. But that's not what our love feasts were. So, anyway, so you go to the temple, the Hare Krishna temple on a Sunday, to go to the feast. It's called a feast. Actually, I'd rather call it the get-together, open house, or something like that, because, anyway, whatever. So they go to the Sunday, you go to the Sunday feast, non-coronavirus time, and you'll see in the class, there's a few people here about Krishna, but then it comes down to the eating. Everybody's sitting there chatting, motor mouths. I'm not saying it's wrong to chat or talk to your friends and everything like that, but many people come to the temple just for that. They won't come to hear, they won't come to do this, but they come to eat. And now, of course, we say, because it's prasadam, it's better than nothing, they're making some spiritual progress by taking prasadam, but they're not really advancing very quickly. Because the whole point of going to a holy place is to hear from the saintly persons. In fact, the Bhagavatam says that yatirtha buddhi shalale inakarijat janeshu abhigeshu seva gokura. That if one goes to a holy place and doesn't go to hear from the holy persons, then it's like going to the Ganges and taking a bath, which is okay. Nice to take a bath in the Ganges. But even the cows and the asses do that too. So not to say that someone is an ass or a cow, but it's saying that they're just doing the same activities as the cows and the asses. Like that. So better to go, the most important service you can perform if you come to the Sunday program at the temple, which you can't do now because of coronavirus, the most important service you can perform is to hear Shushrusro Shradanasha Vasudeva Katavruchi Sian Mahatsevi Abhibra Punya Tirtana Shevana. So Prabhupada says here, nor is he to be understood by persons who officially go to the temple to offer worship. And sometimes, forgive me, the ladies go to the temple just to show off their outfits, their latest sari. How do I know that? Champaka told me that. She told me about the nature of ladies. Also, I know that from my mother, who went to not a Hare Krishna temple, but some other religion, and she was very concerned with her own outfit. So that you get some spiritual benefit no matter why you go to the temple. That's true. But you cannot understand Krishna unless you actually go to serve and love Krishna and immerse yourself in Krishna's holy names and serving the Vaishnavas. That's very important. If one serves the Vaishnavas, one gets a taste for hearing and chanting. They make their visit, but they cannot understand Krishna as he is. Krishna can be understood only through the path of devotional service as explained by Krishna himself in the next verse. Very important verse. All right. Bhakya twananyaya sakya ahamevam vidarjuna yatum drashtam chatatvena Vaishnam cha purantapa. Bhakja, by devotional service to Bada Ananyaya, without being mixed with fruitive activities or speculative knowledge, Shakyaha, possible, aham, I, evam, vidaha, like this, Arjuna, or Arjuna, yatum, to know, drashtum, to see, cha, and, tatvena, in fact, praveshtum, to enter into, cha, also, purantapa, subduer of the enemy. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service. Let me unpack that. That means anyabhi lashita shunyam. Let me unpack that. That means devoid of any other motive. That's hard. Have faith. It will come. By Prabhupada's mercy, that stage will come. Only by undivided devotional service. Ahaitatiya pratyata is another way of explaining that. That there's no material cause to your devotional service. You're not doing devotional service because they're paying you. Some places they may actually pay the devotees to do an arti. And then they check in with their punch cards. I don't know if any of you know what a punch card is. In the old days, when someone went to work, they got this little card and they put it into a clock-like device. And it would show when they checked in to work. It also showed when they checked out for work, and they put it in a little slot near the punch, near the clock. And at the end of the week, the treasurer, whoever was paying the salaries, would look at it and see, he worked a certain amount of hours this week. He gets $5 an hour. You know, in those days, it wasn't so much an hour. And then they work out his salary, taking all the deductions, like withholding, and social security, and all those other things. So undivided devotional service means there's no material reason why I'm serving Krishna. I just love him. And I want to be Krishna conscious. Can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly? Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So Prabhupada explains that Krishna can be understood only by the process of undivided devotional service. Explain what that was. He explicitly explains this in this verse so that unauthorized commentators who try to understand Bhagavad Gita by their speculative process will know that they are simply wasting their time. No one, in other words, that's the instructions for understanding Bhagavad Gita. You know, it's the instruction manual. You have to do it to serve Krishna. No one, and to please Krishna. And to do what Krishna wants. And no one can understand Krishna or how he came from his parents in a four-handed form and at once changed himself into a two-handed form. These things are very difficult to understand by study of the Vedas or by philosophical speculation. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that no one can see him or enter into understanding of these matters. Those who, however, are very experienced students of Vedic literature can learn about him from the Vedic literature in so many ways. There are so many rules and regulations that if one at all wants to understand Krishna, he must follow the regulative principles described in the authoritative literature. One can perform. And so the regulative principles that we have to follow are very simple. Very simple. It's no problem. I mean, who wants to eat meat? Yuck. Or fish. You. Or eggs. Ooh, yuck. Just think of what it is, what an egg is. Anyway, one can perform penance in accordance with those principles. For example, to undergo severe penances, one may observe fasting on Ekadasi, the day on which Krishna appeared, and on the 2 days, on Janmasmi, sorry, on the day in which Krishna appeared, and on the 2 days of Ekadasi, the 11th day after the new moon, and the 11th day after the full moon. Actually, today is the new moon. New moon means you can't see the moon. As far as charity is concerned, well, let me explain how we get all these different days. There's two halves to every month. There's the Krishna Paksha and the Gaura Paksha. Now, you may not understand what that means. The Krishna Paksha is when the moon is actually getting darker and darker. In other words, being more and more and more covered. That's half the month. And the other half of the month is the Gaura Paksha, in which the moon is getting more and more and more and more and more and more uncovered. And then finally you end up with the full moon. Okay? And so 11 days after the new moon, or 11 days after the full moon, that's called the Ekadasi. Ekadasi means 11. Okay. Got it. Dwadasi means 12. Triodasi means 13. Chaturdasi means 14, got it? Very easy to understand. Anyway, just the Sanskrit names for the day of the month. And so there's two Ekadasis in every month, and two Dwadasis in every month, and two Triodasis in every month, and two Dasamis, etc. Dasami is 10. As far as charity is concerned, it is plain that charity should be given to the devotees of Krishna who are engaged in his devotional service to spread Krishna philosophy or Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Krishna consciousness is a benediction to humanity. Lord Chaitanya was appreciated by Rupa Goswami as the most munificent man of charity because love of Krishna, which is very difficult to achieve, was distributed freely by him. So this is a very important verse given to us by Rupa Goswami. Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Senamaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Namo Mahavidanyaya. That means the most merciful personality, because Krishna Prema Padayate, he is freely giving away Krishna consciousness, or love of Krishna, actually. So, mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Panchatattva, that's the five personalities, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and Srivastava Thakura, they actually had the storehouse of love of God, the storehouse of prema, and they broke open the storehouse and distributed freely when they saw that no one in Kali Yuga could pay the price. So that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if one gives some amount of money to persons involved in distributing Krishna consciousness, that charity given to spread Krishna consciousness is the greatest charity in the world. And if one worships as prescribed in the temple, in the temples of India, there's always some statue, usually of Vishnu or Krishna, that is a chance to progress by offering worship and respect to progress to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the beginners in devotional service to the Lord, temple worship is essential, and this is confirmed in the Vedic literature in the Shveta Shvatara Upanishad. Yashe deve parabhaktir yata deve tata guru tashayate katita yata prakashante mahatmana. One who has unflinching devotion for the Supreme Lord and is directed by the spiritual master in whom he has similar unflinching faith can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead by revelation. One cannot understand Krishna by mental speculation. For one who does not take personal training under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, it is impossible to even begin to understand Krishna. Wow. The word two is specifically used here to indicate that no other process can be used can be recommended or can be successful in understanding Krishna. Wow. The personal forms of Krishna, two-handed form and the four-handed, are completely different from the temporary universal form shown to Arjuna. The four-handed form of Narayana and the two-handed form of Krishna are eternal and transcendental, whereas the universal form exhibited to Arjuna is temporary and material. The very word sudurdarshan, meaning difficult to see, suggests that no one had seen that universal form. It also suggests that amongst the devotees, there was no necessity of showing it. That form was exhibited by Krishna at the request of Arjuna, so that in the future, when one represents himself as an incarnation of God, people can ask to see his universal form. So do that. Next time you meet a god on the street, just say, show me your universal form. So the word na, used repeatedly in the previous verse, indicates that one should not be very much proud of such credentials as an academic education in Vedic literature. One must take to the devotional service of Krishna. Only then can one attempt to write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Krishna changes from the universal form to the four-handed form of Narayana and then to his own natural form of two hands. This indicates that the four-handed forms and other forms mentioned in Vedic literature are all emanations of the original two-handed Krishna. He is the origin of all emanations. Krishna is distinct even from these forms, what to speak of the impersonal conception. As far as the four-handed forms of Krishna are concerned, it is stated clearly that even the most identical four-handed form of Krishna, which is known as Mahavishnu, remember, the one who breathes out and all the universes come out from, who is lying in the cosmic ocean and from whom breathing so many innumerable universes are passing out and entering, that's what I just said, is also an expansion of the Supreme Lord, as stated in the Brahma Sanhita in the 5th chapter, text 48. Yashaika nishvasarita kalamatala atavalambhya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata vishnur mahansehi yasya kalavishesho govindamadipurusham tamaham vajami. The Mahavishnu, let's see if we have a lot more here in this chapter. Ooh, quite a few things. Okay. I think we'll just read the translation of this and then we'll take questions. All right. The Mahavishnu, into whom all the innumerable universes enter and from whom they come forth again simply by his breathing process, is a plenary expansion of Krishna. Therefore, I worship Govinda Krishna, the cause of all causes. Therefore, one should conclusively worship the personal form of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has eternal bliss and knowledge. He is the source of all forms of Vishnu. He is the source of all forms of incarnation. And he is the original Supreme Personality, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. So we are going to end here and take some questions at this point. Just give me 1 second. We'll stop the sharing. And we will allow you to ask some questions. Give me a second. All right. Who has questions? Abhimanyu, you have some questions. Well, it's not Abhimanyu. Sorry. looks like twins. Okay.
So Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh my God, nobody has questions.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Can you hear me?
This is your opportunity.
Hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Sure, you have questions.
Can you hear me?
Let me see. I can't hear you. Maybe it's...
Okay.
Give me a second.
I'm not sure why.
I got it.
Can you hear me now?
Change my...
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Speakers. How about now?
Hare Krishna, can you hear me, Maharaj?
No, I can't hear you. I mean, it's my problem right now.
Okay.
No one else's problem. Okay, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh, that's great. Please accept my humble obeisances, Maharaj.
Right, so my blessing is all glorious to Prabhupada. So,
the question just in relation to where Lord Krishna says that his Shyamasundara form is even more difficult to be seen. On this planet, we are very fortunate that we can see his deity form, and you know, we can see the Shyamasundara form. So does that mean on the other planets, he is not known in his Shyamasundara form, in his two-armed form? And those demigods don't have the same level of devotional service to understand Krishna?
What it means is that on this particular planet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us this special mercy so we can understand Krishna's original form. Even though it's apparent in the Bhagavatam, like Krishna says in the list of incarnations or avatars, Ete Changsa, doesn't Krishna doesn't say, the Bhagavatam says, Ete Changsa Kalakpum Sam Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the original form, original Supreme Personality, Godhead. It's not very much understood outside of this earth planet during Kali Yuga. This is actually Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. So we are extremely fortunate. And, of course, those who are on the higher planets who got Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy for one reason or other, they can also understand. But this is extremely esoteric, difficult to understand. Although it's there in the Upanishads. You know, in the Upanishads, the Gopotapani Upanishad talks about, you know, worshipping the coward boy, etc., like that, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you really won't find it, let's say, so much knowledge or propagation of that particular point in other sampradayas. Nambarka sampradaya, you do find it, but not in the Ramanuja sampradaya. In the Ramanuja sampradaya, they are primarily worshipping Vishnu. So this is by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. You can understand this. And also, it's very logical that the form of Krishna is the original form of God, because when Krishna manifests himself in his original form, he has more qualities or exhibits more qualities than any other form. You know, he plays a flute, has unexcelled beauty, loving devotees, and wonderful pastimes. These four qualities that are not exhibited by any other manifestation of the Supreme Personality. Okay?
Yes.
So we are fortunate. By Prabhupada's mercy, we are extremely fortunate.
Yeah. Thank you, Maharaj.
We should thank Prabhupada every day. Sounds like Rishikesh. Is that Rishikesh? Yeah.
Yes, Guru.
Okay, Rishikesh.
Please accept my obeisance, Guru. Guru, just quick question. You were stressing on serving Vaishnavas. What's the best way to serve a Vaishnava? I know there are many ways.
Best way, there's a very easy process. It's called ask them.
Okay.
It's actually quite easy. You go up to the Vaishnava and you say, what can I do for you? And whatever the Vaishnava says, that's the best way. Like Prabhupada said, if he asks for a glass of water and you bring him milk, that's actually not the best way. You have to do what he asked for. You understand? So that's easy. How do you serve Vaishnavas? Go and ask them. And of course, you're probably afraid of asking you. Some Vaishnava may say, take sannyas, Rishikesh. Like Prabhupada had dreams of his spiritual master beckoning to him, take sannyas, and Prabhupada was horrified. But Prabhupada did it. But he was horrified. So I'm not telling you that. Don't worry. That would be really bad. Bad idea. So in other words, we go to a Vaishnava and we say, what can I do for you? What do you need? What service do you need? What would please you the most? And be ready to do it, if practical. Yeah. If practical. So Does that answer the question?
It's good there. Thank you.
Okay. Who else do we have asking questions today? No one else.
Gurudev, is a Vaishnava, is that just a devotee, or what is like the definition?
Okay, that's an interesting question. Like, generally we talk about three types of Vaishnavas as far as their interactions are concerned. The first type is someone who just chants Hare Krishna once. They're actually considered a devotee. However, the type of service we render to such a person is we offer respects in our mind. This is talked about by Rupa Goswami. And then, if someone is like regularly chanting and, you know, devoted itself to Krishna but is not pure, then we make friendship with that particular person. But if a Vaishnava is like on the topmost platform, you know, completely dedicated to Krishna like that, a very advanced devotee. Gopal put a funny chat there. So anyway, not going to repeat what he put in the chat. But if Vaishnava is a very advanced devotee, then we offer service, yeah. So it's not that we go up to just like a neophyte devotee, like if someone who just chants once and say, whatever you want, I'll do, you know, because whatever they want, they may want to go to the disco with you or something like that. So it's that particular request is made to an extremely advanced pure Vaishnava. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Yeah, otherwise we get in trouble. Like, come to the temple in the morning, I say to every devotee, what do you want? What do you want? Someone says, you know, give me your money. And
well, what about the second? Are we serving the ones in the middle too, right?
We are. We make friendship. We exchange gifts. We reveal our mind in confidence, and according to practicality. One has to be very practical, because I can think of a lot of people that if I go to a lot of devotees, if I go to and say, you know, I'm willing to do anything you want, I'll get in trouble. They'll say, yeah, go in the kitchen and cook me a bowl of sweet rice immediately. or Guru Maharaj. Yeah, they'll say, Guru Maharaj, I have a request to make of you. Can you send me to Hawaii? And actually, it's actually very funny. Sometimes with disciples, they've learned the art of getting what they want from the guru because they do it first and get permission later. Because they know if they ask first, the guru will say, it's not a good idea. But if they do it and they say, Guru Maharaj, I just did this. Is that okay with you? You can't say no because you already did it. Anyways. So that's a standard you'll learn. The more time you spend in this kind, you'll learn that's the way to get whatever you want. You just do it and get permission later. Anyway, don't quote me on that. I'll get in trouble. So is that right? Any other question? Thank you, Veda Priya, for that question. Who asked another question?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, it's Radha Sundari.
Radha Sundari, delivering packages.
Yes, Gurudev. I have to stop my car.
That's good.
Gurudev, Dandavat Pranam. I just wanted to ask you about a dream. It's not. I had a dream that I can't see anybody. It's very like there's no light or nothing, but I'm running with some lady. I can hear the lady's voice, but it's saying, I'm saying that I want to go to Vrindavan, and she's saying, you will get to Vrindavan, you will get to Vrindavan. So I'm just wondering what they're dreaming.
Okay, now I'll put in my dream interpretation hat and ask Krishna. Well, the point is, what the lady meant was that simply by serving and continuing to chant your rounds, you'll get to Vrindavan. How about that? How about that for an interpretation?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I was just like thinking, why did I get this dream?
It's a pretty nice dream.
Yeah, actually, I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. I don't want to live in this world, in this jail.
Yeah.
It's a jail for us.
Pretty nice dream, you know. I have dreams and someone says to me, you'll get to go to Walmart. You'll get to go to Walmart. So your dream is a lot better than mine.
Walmart.
You know what Walmart is? Do you have them here?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
That's right.
It's a Kmart here.
There's a Kmart. We used to have Kmart. Kmart's pretty much gone out of business in America. So they're in Australia and New Zealand right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for a good
Thank
question.
But I
have a question for you. Why does it take so long when I send a package to Australia for it to get delivered?
It's just because of this COVID, Gurudev. The planes are not coming as much, so they're sending it through the ocean. So it's all the surface mail now.
Oh my God!
Yes,
that's terrible. Does the Australian government open up every package that comes into Australia from overseas?
They X-ray it, but they don't open it. If it's suspicious, then they open it.
What if I'm sending beads to someone? Do they open that up?
They can if it looks, something, then they'll open it. And if they see it's a bead, then they'll probably just give it to the person.
Oh, they'll give it. Okay.
Yeah, but they'll check the beads if it's a wood, you know, like whether it's a treated wood or what.
Right,
but they'll definitely give it, because it still comes from India, so it should be okay. So that's the only way, you know. Like at the moment, all the mail is going surface.
Oh, terrible! Because I sent beads to someone in Australia. It took them over a month to get there.
Yes, it will. It's very very slow.
It's terrible. Okay, so one other question. One other person has the ability to ask questions. Da, 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 da. No, no one today. Everyone's shy. Okay. Going once, going twice.
Mother Ermila has a question.
Okay, Mother Ermila. Okay. Okay, Mataji, what's the question?
So, what's the best way to react when Krishna publicly humiliates you and shows you that you're a fool?
Best way to react?
Yeah, what's the best way to respond to that?
When Krishna does it or Krishna's devotee does it?
Doesn't make any difference, does it?
I would say if you genuinely make a mistake. We all make mistakes. I mean, what I do is I admit, if I actually made a mistake, I'll just admit I made a mistake. I mean, it's really defending one's reputation, unless it's actually important for preaching. It's not really necessary to be done. It's like part of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
Right.
So I think people, my experience is people respect you more when you act, honest people respect you more when you admit that you made a mistake.
Thank you.
That's been my experience. I mean, one problem I have with a particular political leader who should remain nameless to protect him is that he will never admit that he makes a mistake. Also, it's sort of part of the Indian culture too that people don't admit that they make mistakes. I mean, it's an unfortunate part that I've seen sometimes manifest in India, that like you'll be driving somewhere and they'll ask someone for directions. They'll give you the wrong directions, even though they know they don't know where you're going, but just so they don't admit that they don't know. I mean, it's just like unfortunate. I've seen that happen many times. They'll just give you wrong directions because they're afraid of saying, I don't know. So we should always be willing. I mean, it's actually refreshing to admit one's faults. I mean, as you know, as Mother Irma knows, that many times, you know, I'll just speak about, you know, something I did that was wrong or whatever, because it's better to be honest. I just feel it's very refreshing to be honest when one has made a mistake, because what can you do? We're all in this world. We all make so many mistakes. And Krishna corrects us, you know, it's kind of nice. That means Krishna loves us. If Krishna doesn't correct us, well, he still loves us, but he knows we can't take it. So on that happy note, we thank you all for joining us. There's so many nice devotees here from all over the world. Wow, I am impressed. It's good to have everybody's association. I am very happy to see everybody. This is part of the fun of giving class. I get to see everybody and understand all these wonderful devotees who I'm missing are watching. It's like a family reunion every night. Okay, on that happy note, we'll see everybody later. All glories through His divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda.